We're on Chav Dalet Amid Beis, 24B3. We're going to start Tana Rabbanan. Okay, but you guys, it's the first column, middle of the first column. It's like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17 lines in the bottom. Okay, Tana We learn how an Eved Kanani goes out free. If you knock out one of the 24 primary limbs, so he goes out free. So what happens? You hit him on the eye, the chosa, and you dimmed his eye. In other words, he didn't become blind. You didn't knock out the eye, just weakened the eyesight. You knocked him on the tooth and it loosened. So it says, Im yachol ishtamish bar machshov, if he's still able to use the tooth and use the eye, meaning he can still see out of it, and he can still chew with the tooth, it doesn't go out free because he didn't knock it out because it's still usable. If he can't use it, so then the Eved goes out free. This is a very simple logical din. If it's not usable anymore, he goes out free. If it's usable, he doesn't go out free. Tanya, another Braisa learns, what happens the reverse? What happens if the eye was weak before the master touched it? And now the simon, now he blinded him. Or the tooth was shaking and he knocked it out. So in other words, the tooth was already loose. The tooth was already... Or the eye was already dim. So if he was able to use them before the injury, meaning he was able to use the eye and the tooth, then the Eved can go out free. Because now he actually knocked it out completely. What happened in Lav, if not, meaning they weren't usable before anyway, so ain't Eved Yez Bam Lachedus, okay, the Eved doesn't go out free.
What is the size of
these? It's not Locha, Moshe Messina.
I understand, but he's going to take his master to court?
Oh yeah, Bezim will decide. Okay, so basically, the Gemara is going to discuss now why I need both cases. Chav Dalet Amid Beis. Now we're 12 lines in the bottom of the page. One Braisa says that if you dim the eye or loosen the tooth, the Eved doesn't go out free if he's still able to use the tooth. What happens if it was loose from before or the eyes were dimmed from before and you knock him out completely, he goes out free. So the question is, Srich, why do I need both cases? So Gemara says like this, Liyash minach kamaisa, if it would only teach us the first braisa, which was when you would dim the eye or you loosen the tooth, I would think, Mishim mikara neira bariya. You know why he goes out free? Because you knocked out, because he originally had good vision, and now he doesn't. Vahashta neira kechisha, now he has poor vision. But in the second braisa, the mikari nami neira kechisha, where he also had dimmed vision, he also didn't have good eyes because the eyes was dimmed before the Rebbe hit him. I would think he doesn't go out free. So it says either way he goes out free. And if it would tell us only the second braisa, I would think, you know why when you knock it out completely, does he go out free? Mishum de sami legamri, because you blinded him completely. Aval hazim in the first case, where you only dimmed the eyesight and you shook the, loosened the tooth, the way Samuel Agamori didn't blind them completely, Amalor, I think the Eved doesn't go out free. Tzrichas, we need both cases. So bottom line is, from both halachas, we have an interesting halacha. If you dim his eye, or loosen the tooth, to the extent they're not usable anymore, it means you can't chew on that side of the mouth because the tooth is too loose to chew, he goes out free. If the tooth was usable and you shook the tooth, loosened the tooth, but you could still chew with it, the Eved doesn't go out free. And then the same thing is in the reverse. If the Eved had dimmed eyesight and you knock it out completely, or he had a loose tooth and you knock out the tooth completely, the Eved goes free.
And if he came with a good eyesight and you dimmed his eyesight?
That's what it is. If you can still use the eye, the first braisa says, he doesn't go out free.
Does the Eved have any other claimant for damages against the master?
You mean, could he ask him for money? No, the payment is the fact that he goes out free.
That takes care of the loss of
a... That's the payment, yeah.
Not much.
Well, he gets freedom. That's...
Well, I mean, you know, he's losing an eye.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't say anywhere that he has to pay him. It just as the Torah says, he goes out free.
Well, those his damages were based on how much it's worth before and after.
Correct.
What page, Rabbi?
Which is not much.
48. Do you have English numbers?
Yeah.
48. Okay, we are now 2, 4, 6, 8 lines at the bottom of the page. Chav Dalet. 8, what did I say? 8 lines in the bottom. Okay? Now the Gemara says another thing. Tell Rabban, Rabban, unlearned. Hareshahoye Rabbi Reifer. What if the slave's master was a doctor? Okay? And he says to him, Likcha le'enei. Color is our medication. In the olden times, they used to... color, it was like a dye. They would put a dye into the eye, and it would heal it. What happened, though? By mistake, Vesima, the master blinded him. Or, Lachta le'shinei. The slave says to the master to scrape his tooth for him. What they used to do, when there was a toothache, they used to scrape around the base of the tooth. So the slave says to the master, you know what, I have a pain in my tooth, scrape the base of the tooth, and what happened, the tooth fell out. So then is, Sichek ba'adan, the slave laughs at the master, v'yotze l'cheres, and he goes out free. But, no, that's the first opinion.
Says he laughs at the master?
Yeah, yeah. The slave laughs at the master and goes free. Rishim Gamliel says no. It says in the Torah, Veshichasa, and you will destroy it, which implies you need to intend to knock it out. See, Rishim Gamliel holds, the first opinion says, even though your intention was to not to knock it out, your intention was to heal the guy, and by mistake you knocked it out, he goes out free. Because bottom line is, you knocked it out. Rishim Gamliel says no. The Torah implies it's only if you intended to knock it out. But if you intended to do something good, and by mistake the tooth fell out or the eye fell out, he doesn't go out free. Okay? But the interesting thing is, the Gemara says, Rav Shimon Gamliel learns it out from a pasuk. Right? The pasuk says, the shichasa, if you destroy it. So the Gemara says, V'rabbanon, hai v'shichasa my avdelei. What do the Chachamim do with this pasuk v'shichasa, which means that it has to be done intentionally? So he said, we learn it for another din. This is a very interesting din. I mean, today I don't know how practical it would be, but Rabbi Lazar says the following. A guy is a pregnant maidservant. Now the din is the baby belongs to the master. She is a non-Jewish maidservant, right? Her kids, she's the property of the master. So the kids belong to the master, right? What would be, a guy sticks his hand into the woman's womb to deliver the baby. And by mistake, and he blinded the fetus. By mistake, the din is potter. He's not held responsible for it. That means, number one, the fetus does not become free. He's still a slave. And he doesn't have to pay damages. My time or why? The Amar Kra, because it says in the Torah, V'shichasa, you should destroy it. It means, She'ichaven l'shachasa. You have to intend to destroy it. That means, but that case, the Chacham learned, is only by a fetus, not by a live Eved. By a live Eved, if you intended to heal him and you knocked out the eye, the Eved does go out free. But here, he wouldn't. Because it says, v'shichasa, it has to be in a way that, you actually wanted to hurt the uber. So the idach, so the question is, where does Rav Shimon Gamliel learn this halacha from, if he uses the v'shichasa for another din? So he says the word, shiches, shichasa. The Torah could have said the word v'shiches. The Torah said v'shichasa with an additional hey. Teaches us both dinim. Ve'idach and the other chachamim hold, shichas, shichas, they don't learn, you can learn something from the word shichas, shichasa, it's one word, one din. But the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel learns out two dinim from the word v'shichasa. Number one, that even by a big eved, you need to intend to knock out the eye or the tooth, and then he goes out free. And the second din is that if you stick your hand into the womb and blind the eved, you're potter. By the way, just for another din, I mean what you asked before, if a master hurts his eved in a way that he doesn't go out free, but he didn't knock out one of the 24 major limbs, whatever. The din is the master doesn't have to pay the eved anything, it's his property. I know it's a human, but it's still his property. Like if a guy breaks his own table, he has to pay, he has to pay himself. He doesn't have to pay if he hurts his eved. If the eved doesn't go out free, he never has to pay his eved because the eved's his property. Why should he have to pay him? He's going to pay himself.
No, but it's a different kind of property. Because like you say, it's a human being. So a different rule applies to him than to...
Not in the halach of this. According to halach, if the guy hurts his eved, he breaks his arm. Right? He doesn't go out free. The body doesn't pay damages.
So what about the idea of Tzar Balei Chai?
I understand. You're not allowed to do it. But if a guy takes his own animal, he gets angry at his dog and breaks his leg. Yeah? What does he have to pay? To whom?
Well, I don't know.
Is he allowed to do it? No. Tzar Balei Chaim. But he does it to Zevit. Zevit belongs to him. Who should he pay to?
Okay.
He could pay himself.
Okay. So he pays himself.
So there's no distinction between a...
Not in the law of damages, because...
A human, animal, a table. You own
that. As far as payment. Forget Evid. Halachically. A father... I'm not talking about pressing charges with abuse and everything. A father gets angry at his kid, breaks his kid's hand. Does he have to pay? Or the bar mitzvah? No. It's his property, he doesn't have to pay. He's not allowed to do it. He did it not very, maybe. But Bezin can't obligate him monetarily because why? He didn't do anything. I mean, he did, but he was paying.
It's his.
He's not an emancipated child.
Correct.
And why is it that in these other cases the Torah says he goes free?
Only in Eved. Eved Kanani. If you knock out...
Who were you talking about?
No, Eved, but if not in the way that he goes out free, you just break his hand or whatever.
So why is it that the attack of the Torah says in these ways he does go
free? Because there's a cost.
You have any obligation to heal him? You damage somebody.
Yeah, if it's your property, you have an obligation to heal the Eved.
Why?
Because your property.
So what? I don't know. So if my table and I break it, I don't have to.
Enoch Hanami. You're right. He probably wouldn't have. I imagine. I assume that he does not have to pay damages. If he wants Evid to stay with a broken hand, let's say he doesn't care. He's a lousy Evid. He doesn't do anything. You wouldn't have to heal it. I'm not talking about menschlichkeit. I'm talking about
just strict law.
Strict financial responsibility. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, three lines in the end of the page. Hare Shahaisa Eina Smuya. What happens if the eye was already blinded? And now the master goes and knocks out the eye. Not like we learned before, it was dimmed and he knocks it out. The eye was mamish blind, but it was in the socket. Then the master comes and knocks him out. Eved Yetzibam Lachedus. The Eved goes out free. Which be basically, the guy was blind anyway. Right? So the Gemara says, my timer. What's the reason for this? So the Gemara says, Mechusar Everhu. Because bottom line is, now he's missing a limb. So he goes out free. So in other words, it's not only the concept of blinding him, it's the concept of blinding him or making him missing a limb. V'tana tuna, and so we learned in a braisa. It says like this. Tamus v'zachrus bebehemam. We learned this in Chumash class in Vayikra. It says like this. When the Torah speaks about korbanus of animals, the Torah says the word zachr tamim. It has to be complete. By birds, by the korbanos of birds, the Torah never uses the word tamim, that it has to be complete. Okay? So therefore, it says, tamus v'zachus bebehema. By an animal korban, it has to be number one male, because the Torah always says zachar tamim. Okay, so it has to be a male, and it has to be unblemished. But a tamus v'zichus be'efus, the din doesn't apply by birds. Like pigeons, any korban that you bring from birds, it doesn't have to be male, and it can have a blemish. But I would think though, yavsha gapo, if the wing of the bird withered, or nikta raglo, or if the leg was severed, or nechta ta'ena, the eye was removed of the bird from its socket, I would think that it's still kosher. Talmud Lamer, the Torah says min ha'if. The Torah says ve'im min ha'if korbanei. If from birds is your korban, which means not all birds are kosher. What does it mean? V'lei kol ha'if, but it means if it's missing a limb, it's takan not kosher. In other words, like this. This din, that you don't need completeness, flawlessness, by a bird, that's only if everything's intact, but the bird's blind.
Or the feathers are missing or something.
Right. Then you can bring that as a korban. But if the bird is missing an eye, then it's considered a blemish. So the same thing we say by an eved. Even if the eved's blind, but if you knock out his eye, then he goes out free.
So we learn this from that?
Yeah, well, it's a proof too. We don't learn it as the actual proof. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar of Chia Barashi, Amar Av. Rav Chia Barashi, she says in the name of Rav another din, Hai Salah, Yeseda, what happens if there was an extra finger? What happens if the Eved has six fingers? What happens to people that...
That's right.
Okay, and he cuts off the extra finger.
Wow.
Now before the Gemara said, that if you knock off any of the 10, remember the 24 things, the 10 fingers, the 10 toes. Okay, now the guy had 11 fingers, and you knocked off one. So he says, Yaitzibam Lechedus. The guy goes out free.
Wow.
Says, one more second. Amen Avuna, one second. That's what the Rav said. Amen Avuna, Ravuna explains it. Vishenisperis Agave Yad. That's only if the extra finger is on the same place with the rest of the fingers. In other, if from the same place as the fingers, you have a six finger, then he goes out. But if the finger comes out, let's say here, by the wrist, let's say, then and you cut it off, he wouldn't go out free.
Because he may improve the way he
looks. Yeah. Well, the truth is, you improve it also. If a guy's 11 fingers, he cut off one. It's improving, but he goes out free. It's called a missing limb. Okay. Now the Gemara tells the story. Saved the Nuzunya, the elders of the people of Nuzunya, they also appeared at Rav Chista. They didn't come to Rav Chista's lecture. Rav Chista had a lecture in the city. They didn't show up. Amalei Rav Amnuna, so Rav Chista said to Rav Amnuna, Zilzane, go excommunicate them. They didn't come to my lecture. Put them into Chedim.
All of them?
Yeah, all of them.
I thought they didn't show up, maybe he brings down the bottom.
The commentators explain, you have to understand. Let me give one basic premise. The people of the Gemara had no Yetzer Hara. Okay? The Gemara says about the people in the Gemara, Bezuta the Bechu, the youngest, the smallest, the least brilliant of them all, was able to resurrect the dead. Okay, you're talking about not today's tzaddikim, real ones. Mamish no yetzahara. There was no ego. There was no self-interest. There was nothing. Okay? These were the elders of the city Nazonia, yeah? They were the scholars. Okay? Rav Chista gave a lecture. If these people would have showed up, the rest of the illiterate people, the ignorant people would have shown up. Because everybody's going. these people don't come. So what do the other people say? They're not going. Why should I go? Right? So Rav Chisda said, these people, not personal, these people did a crime by not showing up to the Torah lecture.
I guess that's
yeah. It's like, if the rabbis don't show up to Minyan, why should the lay people come to Minyan? Right? I mean, you know, if they're not coming, why should I come? So Rav Chisda said, these people are setting a bad example. There's a lecture, people have to come to learn Torah. Don't forget, they didn't have Gemaras in those days. Right? They learned everything from what they heard orally. Yeah? So they didn't show up. So Rav Chisda says to Rav Amnuna, Ziltane, go put him in Techerim. Ozel Amr Luhu. So listen to this. Rav Amnuna went to the people. And he said, my time lost it, Rabbanu Lepirka. Why didn't you guys come to Rav Chisda's lecture? Why didn't you come? Amr Lehi, they said, Amai Nais, why should we come? The Be'ina Minei Milsa, we have asked him a question. V'lei Pasha, he didn't answer it. So who is he? We should go to his lecture. We asked him a question. He didn't know the answer. So why should we go?
Oh, he didn't know the answer?
Yeah, he didn't answer the question. So why should we go? Like, what's the purpose of going? Amalahu, he said, Mi be'isa minoi midi. Did you ever ask me a question? V'lei Pashtina Luchon, I didn't answer you. He didn't speak about Rav Chisda. Rav Amnuna says to the guys, why didn't you come? So they said, why to Rav Chisda, right? So they say to Rav Amnuna, why should we go to Rav Chisda? We ask him a question, he doesn't know the answer. So Rav Amnuna says to them, 1 minute, did you ever ask me a question that he didn't know the answer? So what happened? Boy, Minei said, he said, okay, you know what, we'll ask you a question. See if you know. And the Mefarshim, by the way, is difficult to understand. What does Rav Amnuna have to do with it?
Exactly.
I mean,
why
he didn't come to Rav Chisda.
He's defending his Rebbe.
Yeah, but there's. So why did Rav Amnuna say, did you ever ask me a question? I know, whatever. So he's asked him following question. Evet, Shesir Surab, Bebet Mahu. A Rebbe, a master, emasculated, to use the word here, the testicles of the Evet. Does he go out free or not?
He goes out cold.
1 minute. But is this considered an exposed blemish, a lie or not? In other words, the story over here is very simple. We learned before in the Gemara, what did the guy go out with? 24 open limbs. Okay? Open limbs. They go out. So the question is this considered a mum shebegolui? Is this considered an open blemish, and he does go out free, or not? Okay? So the Gemara says, Lehava b'yodik. But Rav Amnuna didn't know the answer. These guys are some tough cookies, these elders. He said, why should we go to Rav Chisda? He doesn't know the answer to that question. So Rav Amnuna, okay, ask me a question. They asked him a question, he didn't know. So they said to him, Amrulay, so the elders of this Nezunya, this town, said to Rav Amnuna, Mashmech, what's your name? Amrulay said, Hamnuna. He said, my name's Hamnuna. Amrulay, Lav Hamnuna, your name is not Hamnuna, Ela Karnusa. Because Hamnuna means, this is Rashi learns.
Karnuna.
Huh?
Karnuna.
I said Karnuna. They said, your name shouldn't be Hamnuna. Your name should be Karnuna. Rashi learns, and today's being on Rashi's opinion, that you sit in the corners as an uneducated person. You know the guys that sit in the street corners?
Hold out. Kar? Comes from Kar?
No.
Hold.
Rashi says, Yeshiv Karana Sato. You're sitting in the street, not the unintelligent people. Taisus learns that Hamnuna means, Chamnuna means a warm fish. And karnuna means a cold fish. So he said, they answered him, why, according to Taisus, why are they calling you warm fish? They could should call you cold fish. Not hamnuna, but karnuna.
I thought you said they had no yitzhar hara. They're very...
No, this is the oldest.
These are old guys. These are not amiroim.
Oh, these sabbaths were all samurai?
I don't know. So what happened? Also coming to Rav Chisda. So Rav Amnuna came to Rav Chisda and told him the story. And he asked him the shaila. Amalei, as Rav Chista said to Rav Amnuna, Yishinah masnit debor minach. The question they asked you, you can answer from a braisa. I know the answer to the question, he said. What's the question? The Tanan, what question they ask if you cut off the testicles, you know, does he go free or not? So it says, Es in Rabbah Rosh Yevam Sheba Adam, the 24 limbs, tips of limbs of the person, Kulamei Metamim Mishum Michya. There's a certain tumah of Michya, meaning like this. Michi is white patches on the skin, makes him tummy. Okay? Now, it says, the parent of tzaras on a person's body does not render him definitely tummy. Okay? It has to be an additional indication of tumor. What is that? A michia. Michi means a live spot, a healthy skin within the whiter skin. In other words, like this. Leprosy is a white discoloration, but if in the middle there's healthy skin, then he's tummy. Okay? Another for tzaras, which is white, with four categories of white, but in order for tzaras to become tummy, make you tummy, if it would all be white, you wouldn't be tummy. It has to have healthy skin in the middle. The whole thing doesn't make sense. Okay. Now, he says, on the tips of these 24 limbs, ein mitame mishum michya. They cannot become susceptible of michya. Why? So it says like this. In order for michya, meaning the healthy skin, to make you tame, it has to be noticeable at one time. Now, if you have a tip of a finger, you can't see it all at one time. Because part of it's up, part of it's down. So you don't see the whole finger at one time. So therefore, the Gemara says, if it's on the tips of one of the 24 Evadim of a person, that's speaking about Evad now. This is about the din of Tumah, right? We're going to learn out Evad from Tumah. So he says like this, if the Chavdal Evadim of the person, if there's Michya, meaning the live, healthy skin, and the tip of those limbs, then he's not tummy because of michi, because he can't see it at one time.
How big an area are you talking about?
Because he's slope-way in different directions.
But if around that area is white?
No, I'm saying, if around the area is white, and you only see the healthy flesh, when you look at the finger like this, you can't see the whole thing, top and bottom.
What's the tip?
He's going to say
there's
more to it. It's coming.
Well, we're not done with the tips, but then we're not going to explain what the tips are. We'll see. Okay. These are what they are. Rashi is boys yadayim v'raglayim. 20 toes and fingers and toes, right? The tips of them. Rashi is noyim, the edges of the ears. Reisha chaitim, tip of the nose. Reisha gvia, that's the tip of the male organ. Rashi dadim should be ishi, the tips of a woman's breasts, and Rabbi Yehuda says av be ish, the tips of a man's breasts. So because they're like pointy, you can't see it all at one time.
But you can if you hold your finger like this, you can see.
Which way?
But you don't see the white at the same time, also, right?
The bottom line is, it says that you can't. I don't know what the mitzias is that you can't. Rashi says,
you can't see the whole thing.
If it's mushpa v'yoyed l'chol tzad, you can't see the head of the nega and the foot at one time.
Exactly, can't. You could, practically
speaking. He says, you can't, so I don't know. I mean, it's a question and a fact. The Gemara says you can't. So one second. The Tani Allah, and so it speaks about tumah, right? And it says in the Braisa, the kulam and all the loss of any of these 24 tips of the limbs, eved yetzibem lechedus, and eved goes free. Rebbe yemer afasirus, even if you emasculate him, you sterilize the guy, like we just learned. And Benazi says afaloshin, even if you cut off the tongue, it's also an exposed limb. Why is a tongue an exposed limb? Because when you talk, your tongue sticks out. So it becomes exposed. In other words, it's not always exposed, but it's an exposed limb.
So it may have more than 24.
Yeah, according to this, more than 24. Well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have 25, according to, you know, whatever. Now, so the Gemara is still in the middle of explaining. So Amar Mar, we just got through saying that Rabbi said after Sirus, that even if you emasculate the Eved, he goes off free. But Sirus the Mai, what did you, how did you do it? Elam is Sirus the Gid. If you're talking about an emasculated actual organ, that's what the case of Gevia. The Debrais already says, right? Rebbe is adding Saris above and beyond doing the Gviya.
What's Gviya?
The organ, the male organ.
Oh.
El alav, so you must say, Sidus the Beitzim. That is speaking that he emasculated through the Beim, the testicles. And therefore you see that he goes out free. So in other words, the answer to their question, the Chachmin Azunya, that asked, Rav Amnuna, who didn't know the answer, and Rav Chisda didn't know the answer, he says, the question is, if you sterilize him like that, does he go out free? So you see, Rabbi holds it, he goes out free.
Obviously, this wasn't the question that they asked Rav Chisda before.
It doesn't say what they asked Rav Chisda, probably not.
If they asked him, he would have answered.
If they asked Rav Chisda that question, he would have known the answer. So it doesn't say the question they asked him.
Why didn't they present the same question that Rav Chisda missed, or didn't answer? Did he not have the answer, or he chose not to answer them? Do we know that?
It says, "V'le pashut loni didn't resolve it for us." According to Halacha, by the way, it's an interesting din in Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. If somebody asks you a question because they want to know the answer, and you know the answer, you have an obligation to tell them. If they're asking you to test you, because they're not interested in the answer. They want to test you, you have no obligation halachically to answer them. Well, it seems the way these guys are going, they're testing.
They're
not interested, huh?
Maybe he did have the answer
and he didn't want to answer them. You know, the famous story that Rebbe quoted from the Neidu B'Yehuda when he was becoming the Rav of Prague. Neidu B'Yehuda was the Rav of Prague. So, how did they pick a rabbi? Nowadays, you look at the resume with the credentials, how many degrees he has, how he smiles and how he speaks.
Politics.
what he thinks about Obama.
Some shoes got to be politically
correct.
Correct.
Yeah. Whatever the Balabatim want, he's going to do. The story is told, how did they pick it off in the olden times? They needed it off to know how to learn. So they were like the elders of the city, they didn't know how to learn. The Balabatim didn't know how to learn. And the Ibam Shef firing squad.
They grilled him
in halacha. And officially, the way the test was supposed to be, they were supposed to ask halachas the question that really came up. Well, the question that really, that was the deal. Because these are real questions, they wouldn't say, how would you paskin in this case? So they asked the native Yudah Shaila, and he made a mistake. He answered wrong. So he said, we got you. He said this question was not real. It was a made-up question. He said this question never happened. And they knew he was right. So they said to him, how did you know? You're right. We give in. But how did you know? So he said like this. When you ask a Rav a question, a Rav is a human being. He can make a mistake. Mm-hmm. He can make a mistake. Right? And yet to rely on Rav eating on Yom Kippur, or is a woman allowed to marry or not? I mean, you're asking basic, you know, fundamental Judaism questions, you know, that could be death sentences involved. So he says, so how Rav's a human being, you know, how do you trust him? So the answer is, the Gemara says, that if a Rav is a proper Rav, Hashem helps him to get the right answer, not to make an incorrect ruling. He said, but when I made a mistake in this question, it wasn't practical. It's only a question of my ego. Did I know it or not know it? God doesn't have to stick up for my ego. And therefore I can make a mistake. But if this would have been a practical question, God would have never allowed me to make a mistake. He said, the fact that I made a mistake, they picked him as a Rav, don't worry about it. The fact that I made a mistake, he says, because it wasn't practical. So for my ego, God doesn't have to stick up for my ego. And I'm a human being, I can make a mistake. Okay, anyway.
It wasn't L'shem Shemayim.
Right. Now, the Gemara discusses the Brisim more. Rabbi Eimer, Afasidus. Rabbi says, even if you emasculate the guy goes out free. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Loshen Lai. But who said the tongue, the guy goes out free? Ben Azai. Rabbi just said, in addition to the 24, Rabbi says, if you emasculate him, he also goes out free. So the Gemara said, but why not by the tongue? And the Gemara said, I'll show you that according to Rabbi, he should go out if you cut off his tongue. Why? It says, Ramin, I'll ask you a question. If a kain was squirting the red heifer ashes, well, we just read about this past Shabbos. Yeah? Benitza zo'al piv, and the sprinkling splattered onto his mouth. Now, the din is like this. When you squirt the water with the ashes, you know, from the paradum on the guy, the din is, it has to land to purify the guy on an exposed part of the body. Okay? If a guy opens his mouth and you sprinkle it inside the mouth, the guy doesn't go out free. It has to be done on an exposed part of the body. As soon as it hits an exposed part of the body, the guy is pure. Paradum, yeah. So it says, what happens if you sprinkled the guy and it landed onto his mouth? Is it good or not? Is the mouth exposed or not exposed? So Rabbi, Rabbi says...
Mouth or tongue?
Mouth. 1 second. Rabbi says... One second. We don't know yet. Rabbi says it's a valid sprinkling because the mouth is exposed. It's not... The mouth is called a hidden limb. So Gemara says, 1 minute. A mouth is exposed. So we must say, what do they mean here, mouth? The tongue. So Rabbi holds the tongue is exposed. That's why he said it's a good sprinkling. And the Chachamim said the tongue is not exposed. Right? But we just got through saying, Rabbi says that the tongue is not exposed.
Counts it as one of
the Rashi's writing. No, only Sirus. Only if you masculate him. But the tongue, only Benazai says is good. Rabbi says it's not good. That means, according to Rabbi, over here, it's not an exposed limb. But in this Brisa, Rabbi says, if you sprinkle on the tongue, it's an exposed limb. So make up your mind, is it exposed or isn't it exposed?
What did we come to?
1 second. Rabbi says, light. It's not the tongue. That's not what we're talking about. The water was sprinkled on his lips. So Rebbe says, lips are exposed. The Chachamim hold, lips are not exposed. So the Gemara says, Al Svasav, how could it be not exposed? Lips are exposed. He says, no. Pshit, I mean, it's obvious that the lips are exposed. He says, no. Ma'od etem, I would think... Zimnem the cholis vasai. Once sometimes, you know, you close your mouth, you cover your lips. Here he calls it, purses his lips tightly. So then the lips are not exposed. So I would think that sometimes they're not considered exposed. Kamash malon. So Rabbi teaches us that the lips are exposed. But the tongue, according to Rabbi, is not exposed. So the Gemara's outcome so far, before the Gemara questions, is according to Rabbi, a tongue is not an exposed limb. Therefore, if you cut out the Eved's tongue, according to Rabbi, the Eved does not go out free. According to Ben Azai, it's called exposed. Why is it exposed? Because when you talk, sometimes your tongue comes out of your mouth. I guess when you stick out your tongue at somebody, it's exposed. So Ben Azai said it's called an exposed limb. Rabbi says... A tongue is not exposed. In a different Gemara, Rabbi speaks about the mouth and says it's exposed. He said, that's the lips. The lips, Rabbi considers exposed. So the Gemara says, but of course. So the Gemara says, no. I would think that sometimes you cover the lips. So Rabbi says, no. Even though sometimes you cover the lips, as a rule, the lips are considered exposed. But tongue, Rabbi says it's not exposed. Yeah, what?
Why did we conclude beforehand that when he says mouth, he means the lashon?
Because what else could it mean? Everybody thought the mouth is exposed.
No, there's other parts in the mouth than the lashon.
It doesn't say in the mouth, it says alpiv. He's looking at top.
Why should it mean tongue?
Because the Gemara says, how can you argue? How can the Chachamim hold? How can the Chachamim hold that a mouth is not exposed?
It's not. Sometimes.
Outside of the mouth.
Outside is always exposed. Inside the mouth is not exposed.
But that everybody agrees that's no good. Then how could Rabbi say it's exposed?
So it must mean the
lashon. So Gemara thought it means the tongue because sometimes the tongue sticks out, sometimes the tongue doesn't stick out. But the gums are not exposed.
Never. Sometimes, yeah. You can never consider.
When do you expose the tongues? I mean the.
Well,
I don't mean when you open your mouth. I'm saying
exposed means coming.
Exposed coming out.
Protruding.
Yeah.
Protruding from your body.
Well, is that what it means?
Well, you could take a speculum and go. I mean, you could take a camera through the.
Without the use of some instrumentation, just the person opens his mouth. So you see inside the you see the tongue, you see the other parts of the person's mouth.
In fact, what's interesting, l'cheir the teeth.
Smile.
Are not necessarily both, but over there the Torah says clearly Shane.
Especially the back teeth.
Yeah, the tooth.
The
but over there, the Torah says clearly the teeth
goes out.
Right.
So why is
that? Because it's a lesson of the Torah.
Because the Torah says clearly tooth.
Tooth and eye.
So expose is not an exact word over here. Protruding is more.
What means is
exactly the protruding?
The correct word is
protrude. Exposed.
In that case, you could say the eyes are not exposed because you shut the eye tight. Just like the lips.
And Ochanami. Yeah, but by the way, the Chachamim hold that the lips are not exposed.
Because the beard covers them.
How do you know? Maybe, 1 minute, maybe the whole the eye wouldn't be exposed either.
So then the beard is exposed.
According to the Chachamim, maybe, I don't know, but maybe the eye also wouldn't be exposed.
Why would you consider the lips as not exposed?
Because sometimes you cover them.
How?
Mm. Yeah, when you purse the lips, that's what it means.
Completely abnormal.
Yeah, that's not the normal situation.
The Chachamim hold. Chachamim hold is taken not exposed. That's what they hold.
Okay, so they define it that way.
Right.
That's it.
That's halacha.
Yeah, the halacha like the Chachamim. I mean, it's not practical today, but yeah.
So they think the only thing that's exposed are things that are always exposed.
So if they cut the tongue out, does it go through or not?
According to Ben Azay, he goes free. According to the Chacham, he doesn't go free. So the halacha would be like the Chacham, that he doesn't go free. Because not considered an exposed limb.
It's been on a quiet slate. Okay. What about the lips?
The lips halacha is like the chacham that it's not.
But Yehuda, he would.
Well, the Gemara is not done yet.
Rabbi, can I ask you a quick question?
What?
They figured that the argument is that when it says about the mouth being exposed, that the reasoning that it must be the tongue is because of course the mouth is exposed. It must be talking about the tongue. Is that it? I'm missing.
Yeah. Right. But the Gemara is so Tanya. One thing. The Gemara is not done with it. So Mara said, Vatamin, I'll ask you a question, because it says in the Braise clearly that Rebbe said Alushaina on his lips. That the Chachamim and Rebbe are arguing about the lips. And then the Gemara said, Va'oi Tanya, another Braise we learned that about what there's another din about a Bchor. Now Bchor is a firstborn animal. Right? Firstborn animal belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, has to be brought as a carbon. What happens if the Bechor gets a blemish, becomes disqualified as a carbon, and it loses its status of holiness? Now the Bechor, a firstborn animal, by the way, which applies today in Eretz Yisrael, a firstborn animal is holy from birth. You have to bring it as a carbon. If it gets a blemish, it loses the status. Loses the status of Kedusha. So it says, V'ay Tanya says, Pshanit, what is considered a blemish as far as the Bechor goes, V'shenitol reiv haloshin, if the majority of the tongue of the behema was removed, it's a blemish for a korban. Rabbi Omer, reiv hamedabesh b'shoinei. Not even most of the tongue, most of the speaking part of the tongue. In other words, we don't use the whole tongue to speak. We use the front part of the tongue to speak. Right? He's speaking about animals, but by people, the same thing. Right? So, let's say the tongue is 6 inches long. Okay? And let's say we use 3 inches to talk. So the first opinion says, what renders the b'chor unfit? It has to be over 3 inches of the tongue cut. Rebbe says, no. As long as, let's say it takes 3 inches to talk, as long as a little bit over 1.5 inches of the tongue is cut off, he's already not kosher animal. Because the tongue means what speaks. If you cut off the majority of the speaking ability of the animal, it loses it.
What page do you want here?
25A2.
Yeah, but all account just makes noise.
Huh? It still talks.
25A2, yeah.
So what do you see from here? The din is, by a b'chor, only exposed limbs disqualify him from a b'chor. If Rabbi holds that part of the tongue renders him unfit, that means the tongue, Rabbi holds, is an exposed limb. Right? Because the halacha is only exposed limbs disqualify the b'chor from being a kosher animal.
Okay.
Right? Now Rabbi says, if part of the tongue is cut, it's not kosher animal anymore. Which means, by definition, it's exposed. Yet by us, Rabbi says the tongue is not exposed. That's why the Eved doesn't go out free. So Gemara says, Allah, learn like this. You're right. When Rabbi said, you know, you emancipated him, and Rabbi didn't say, emasculate him, sorry.
He'd rather be
emasculated. So it says, when Rabbi says that you emasculate him, it means also emasculation, but the tongue for sure he goes out free. You might be redefining the braisa.
So once again?
That means according to Rabbi, if you emasculate him, he goes out free, and definitely if you cut out his tongue, he goes out free. Because according to Rabbi, it's an exposed limb. Ben Azai said, Loshin only the tongue, if you cut out, he goes free. Aval seriously, but if you emasculate him, no. I, Ben Azai says, Af haloshin, even the tongue. So it means, Ben Azai, Nagdame Ben Azai, but they should. Ben Azai is not going on what Rebbe said. Because the Gemara is asking on the expression. If Rebbe holds emasculation and tongue makes him go free, so how come Ben Azai says even the tongue makes him free? That's what Rabbi said. So even goes on what the Chachamim said. The Chachamim said only 24 limbs go out free. So Ben Azai adds to them even the tongue. But Rabbi adds two more things. Emasculating him and cutting off his tongue. Because according to Rabbi, as we see by this din of Bukhar, that according to Rabbi, the tongue is an exposed limb.
What about the tip of the breast and the tip of the male genital that they spoke about? That's also part of it?
That's part of the 24.
Oh, it's part of the 24.
Well, Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda has even the breasts of a man. But not the tongue. And not emasculation. Rabbi adds emasculation and tongue. Ben Azai says tongue.
But there's 20 fingers, just 20 fingers, and there's eyes. There's 20
fingers. Doesn't say eye. The Gemara doesn't talk about eyes or tooth, because that the Torah says.
Oh, okay.
That the Torah says clearly, eyes and teeth. In addition to eyes and teeth, you have 24 more limbs.
And they get that from what lesson?
There's an extra, the Gemara doesn't say it here, it's an extra lashon of the pasuk, the Gemara learns it off. Okay. Now, the Gemara is going to say like this. Amar Ula.
What happened to the Shabbos?
Who?
The elders. Did they
get excommunicated?
Can I say another question?
I don't know if they got it.
Why didn't
they came up with a legitimate excuse.
Why did Rav Hamnuna not do his Rebbe's shtichus? He was there to excommunicate them. Why did he have to...
Because he wanted to find out. You have to check. Ich kiru drisha. To find out. Maybe, maybe they were all sick. Maybe.
You see, we asked Rabbi Shusterman if they were excommunicated, and he didn't give us the answer.
Don't come to the lecture. But I'll give you a leeway. This is the last class until after Pesach.
Oh.
No, because next week I have to speak somewhere. Next week I have to speak somewhere, and then it's Pesach. So.
Well, so we walked out of Pesach.
Yeah, vacation. Yay!
No. I had to come on Monday night.
Rabbi, we can come to where you're speaking. Where are you speaking? We'll come
yeah.
there.
Next week in the valley. Next week in Long Beach. 2 weeks in the valley.
Is it about Pesach?
Yeah.
About Monday nights.
Amr Ula Ula said, "Hakel Moedim." Now the Gemara is going to discuss the view whether a tongue is revealed or hidden in different halachas and Torah. Amr Ula Ula said like this: "Hakel Moedim." Everybody agreed because we have here an argument between Rabbi and the Chachamim if a tongue is exposed or not, right? Okay. Since everybody agrees as far as tumah. The goli who ate the sheretz. With respect to a sheretz, okay, now, one of these eight bugs, you know, that the Torah talks about, the din is, in order for tumah, if a sheretz touches you, it has to touch an exposed limb. That's the din. So everybody agrees that if a sheretz touches your tongue, your tummy. In that din, everybody says it's exposed. My time of why? Because it says Ashayiga Bayam Rachman that he shall touch. Okay? Now, what the Gemara learns out from the whole thing, the bottom line is that the fact that it needs to be touched means it has to be an exposed part of the body that can be easily touched. Okay? Hai Nami Barnagiu, the bottom line is you can be touched outside the body. Any limb that can be touched outside the body, if your tongue you could stick it out. You can touch it outside the body, it becomes tummy. Le'inyan tvila, as far as going to the mikvah, everybody says ketum and dummy. It's considered as if it's inside, not exposed. Meaning, the din is like this, it's getting late, but we're probably going to start this more again next time. When you tave on the mikvah, right? A woman, especially today, or a man in the olden times when they had an obligation to tevel properly in the mikveh. Every part of your body has to go underwater. Correct? Now, do you need to open your mouth and the water goes into your mouth?
No.
No.
Thank God.
Why not? Because inside the mouth is not exposed. Right? Mm-hmm. Therefore, only exposed limbs need to be immersed. Hidden limbs, concealed limbs, don't need to be immersed.
Does the person have to open their eyes? Is that considered
closed? No. But we're not done with the Gemara. So the Gemara is saying like this. As far as immersing in the mikveh, do you need to get your tongue wet? No. Exposed limbs need to be touched. I mean, with the water. For mikveh, it's not exposed. But if sheretz touches your tongue, everybody agrees, you do become tamei. Because it is exposed. That means, Aul is saying like this. In certain dinim and Torah, everybody agrees the tongue is exposed. In certain dinim of Torah, everybody agrees it's not exposed. As far as tumah goes, if the sheretz touches the tongue, you're tameh, because for tumah it's considered exposed. As far as mikveh goes, everybody agrees it's not exposed, and therefore you don't need to tevel it. Where do they argue? By squirting the ashes of the Par Aduma, the Machlekes we learned before in the Gemara, Rabbi and the Chachamim. If you squirt on the tongue, is the guy pure or not? Over there is a Machlekes. Okay, let's see this.